Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Before you take your seat this morning, just tell the person next to you to check their temperature before they take their seat. Could you do that this morning? Go ahead and do that. Just say, check your temperature. Check your temperature. There's a couple of things I've got to do here before I jump in. And the first one is, can I personally invite each and every one of you back to tonight's service at 5 p.m. If you know somebody who has been affected by mental illness, if you have suffered with it yourself, or you simply want to know more about how you could help in the situation, probably the first thing you need to realize about mental illness is that you can do things to help people, and you can, without even knowing it, do things to hurt people. Going through that, you're looking at someone who never believed in depression until I experienced it for myself, to the point where I almost committed suicide in 2009. Context, pastor, context, leading a powerful church, context, marriage good, money good, but I was falling apart. And so tonight's message is, somebody say, how long does it take to prepare that message? About 25 years. And about 10 years of application, but it will really help you. And so if you've been through it, if you know someone who's going through it, get on the phone, ring and bring, get them along to the meeting. It will really, really, really help. I can't kind of stress that enough. And then the other thing I want to do for those who, how many people here have been a Christian for more than 3 years? Keep your hand up high if you've read the Bible from cover to cover in that 3 years. Oh, wow. That's better than my church. Not really. I don't know whether it was better or... But like, I think 80% of the hands went down, maybe 90. And so I want to help you because I'm into book reviews. I don't read books. I read book reviews. Because 80% of the content is in 20% of the book. So, okay, I lost some of you then too. But let me help you. Google knows everything, right? Google tells me that if I commit myself, it'll take me 80 hours to read this book from cover to cover. But here's my book review for some of you, because you need to get the main message. Here's the main message in 4 points. Are you ready? Are you ready? Number one, God loves you and has an incredible plan for your life. First point in the Bible. Second, man is marred by a state called sin, which separates him from God's love and God's plan. Point two. Point three, Jesus is God's exclusive solution for sin. There is no other solution. He's the one mediator between God and man. That's point three. Point four, each of us must personally receive Christ for the forgiveness of sins. When we do that, we can reconnect with his love and his plan. See there, I just saved you 80 hours to find out the main message. I feel like I've accomplished. I've given some takeaway value. I can just read a poem, share a prophecy, pray a prayer, close, go home. We've had a good day. Now, what I really want to share with you is down this whole line of reaching people for Christ. I feel privileged and honored that your pastors have given me that opportunity. Privileged and honored that they have committed themselves to make Jesus' last words their first priority. Because many of us understand that in church life, other things can get in the way of it. But literally, Jesus' last words. I mean, if you were going away for thousands of years and coming back again to visit, then you would make sure that your last words were the most important things on your agenda to leave with your people. Can somebody say amen? I want to share from that point of view today. I have not come to make you guilty. I have not come to put shame on you, but I have come to challenge you. I have come to encourage you. Today, I would like to comfort those who are hurting and hurt those who are comforted. No, not really. But I do want to get you to shift from where you are. Come on, Claude, behave yourself. You're in Brisbane. Listen, you cannot... It's not possible to defeat a full-time devil as a part-time Christian. So if anything happens today, I'm praying that you get your passion back, that you get your eye of the tiger back, that you get ready to get on the front foot and start taking on the challenge of life that God has given you. Because I believe I'm in a room full of winners, conquerors, more than conquerors, actually. And so I want to help you in that way. When it comes to winning the lost, 63% of church leaders have never in the last year led one person to Christ in the last year. 95% of Christians have not led a person to Christ. Currently, worldwide, the body of Christ is reaching one new person for Christ for every 50 that are in church per year. That's 2%. That is woeful, sir. Thank you for agreeing with me. That's 2% of the body of Christ doing what it's called to do in reaching people for Christ. Recently, China, in a 10-year period, seen 1,200 people per hour, every hour, for 10 years straight come to Christ. That's 105 million people. The interesting thing about that, if you study, is you can't find a key movement responsible for the influence. You can't even find a key apostolic leader. What you can find is every Christian in that nation passionate about winning people for Christ, praying, and leading a life that sets an example for people. And so this morning, I would love to minister you out of John chapter 4, the Gospel of John, regarding reaching people for Christ and the two models that are presented there. Charles Spurgeon said this, not me. He said, "Have you no wish for others to be saved? Then you're not saved yourself. Be sure of that." As we go to this story, I apologize. I didn't say it. He did. Okay, I'm just quoting. Come on, I want you to like me at the end of this. As we go to this story in the Gospel of John, you see two models for winning people to Christ. One, the most obvious, is the expert, the best, the master evangelist, Jesus himself. But this morning, I'm not going to focus on Jesus, not because I like to take people's attention away from Jesus. I want to put it squarely on him today. But I want to look at the other model for reaching people for Christ, and this is this Samaritan woman. And what we do is we pick up the story once the disciples have come back from getting food. You remember that they went off to get food because he was tired. He stayed at the well. And while he was there, he met a lady at the well that, let's just say that if she was in church this morning, you would see her. She'd stand out from the crowd because she's not dressed in church clothes. She may even look like she's just come from the club or the pub. And here Jesus reaches her, and really before she comes into the fullness of salvation, God uses her to reach an entire city. She brings an entire city to Christ, and they believe in Christ because of her, the scripture says. It's crazy. It's flipping outrageous, actually. She can't even articulate the gospel. She doesn't understand sanctification and righteousness. She hasn't really ever served on a volunteer team. She hasn't paid tithes, but she brings an entire city to Christ. By just learning this one thing, this one phrase, that one phrase is, come and see. And we're going to pick up the scripture in John chapter 4, just after the disciples come back and find Jesus talking to this woman. They go to offer him food and he doesn't want to eat anymore. He's no longer hungry. And this is what he says. My nourishment. I've got to stop. I've got to kind of preach all the way through this verse, otherwise I'm not going to have enough time. My nourishment, that means my spiritual health and satisfaction, comes from doing the will of God. There'll be many people here this morning saying, what is the will of God for my life? I'm in the marketplace. I'm a professional. I'm building a career. I'm a business person. What's the will of God for my life? And then there's someone else here. You're an intern and your journey is going to be straight into the ministry and you're going to serve as a pastor. You're going to do these things. You're saying, what is the will of God for my life? I want to say to every single person here, the number one baseline will of God for everyone in the room today is the same right across the board. And that is to heal the sick, to raise the dead and cast out demons. Claude, what are you saying? Are you going to come to this kind of spiritual level to be able to do all those things? Yes. And I think today you might say, I'm at level 3 if 10 is qualified. I'm going to say in the next few minutes, you're going to shift from 3 to 7 or 8 just by changing your perspective. Because where you are right now in the marketplace, you have been positioned by God to reach people. There is no one better position to reach an accountant than another accountant. There is no one better position to reach a bricklayer than another bricklayer. Let me say, your pastor cannot relate to that bricklayer like you can if you're a bricklayer this morning. If you're a teacher or a principal, the best person to reach another teacher or principal is the teacher or principal. Because within your career, there is a revelation for the calling of God upon your life. So for every one of us, the will of God, for your assignment, might be to be a teacher, but the will of God for your life is to reach one more person for Jesus. Bring the healing, bring the deliverance, bring the power of God into that person's world. So Jesus says, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing the work that is the assignment that he gave me. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up. I want to say to C3BD, wake up and look around. Wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits the planter and the harvester alike. Oh my goodness, there's so much here. Can I cover it in the time that we have? Here's the first thing you've got to understand. I told this story to the early crew, most will tell you. A few weeks ago, I was booked in for a meeting that I didn't want to go to. I had a bad attitude, even as a pastor. I had a bad attitude. I was ticked off about the fact that I had to go and do this 3 o'clock meeting with a guy in my church that I'd never really met. Someone else had set up the appointment, and here I am, I'm on the way. And when I get there, I think, oh, this is going to be one of those, I've got to be nice. I've got to be a Christian, understanding, listen. And I walk in, and sure enough, here's this business guy sitting in my office. He's got a piece of paper alongside him, folded, which is always a bad sign for me. It's just a bad sign. It's like, what have I said? What have I done? What has my youth pastor done? What have the young adults done? Who is it? And sure enough, within moments of sitting him down and me making that classic, beautiful, so nice and encouraging pastoral statement, how can I help you? He pulls a piece of paper, opens it up, and I can see this flow chart spreadsheet thing in front of me. And here we go. But to my surprise, to my great surprise and conviction, he starts to share with me how 2 weeks earlier he'd been invited to a church by a girl called Lana. She's like the best person on my Connect pastoral team. And how that invitation turned out to be an answer to like 10 or 15 years of prayer. And he searched for God. And how as a result of that, he came to a crowd Connect where he heard me speak on finding freedom. And one statement I made in that meeting hooked in his heart. And he said, on that night, I made a decision to make this appointment. And what you see in front of me is this spreadsheet because God has been talking to me about what I need to do to prepare myself to come here and surrender my life to Christ. I'm like, Father, forgive me for my sins. And in the next few moments, I got to lead Gideon. Gideon is his name. To Christ as a result of Lana's invitation. I got to reap the harvest on somebody else's invite. And here's what you got to know. Let me take you from 3 to 7 straight away before we go any further in the message. All you need to do is have an attractive personality. For some people, that's harder than it seems. Have an attractive personality. Invite someone to church to connect. And what do you know? They'll get immersed in this beautiful, non-judging, shame-free, guilt-free environment. And sooner or later, they're going to respond to the gospel. Sooner or later, your pastor's going to give a call to respond. And what do you know? They'll come into the kingdom. A harvest will take place. And in eternity, you'll get a reward for it. But right here it says, if you make a decision as a believer to become a bona fide, sold out soul winner, there's this amazing thing that takes place. You get on the heavenly payroll. It says right here that the harvesters are paid good wages. And I can hear some religious voices that have followed me from WA. They're not here in Brisbane, but let's just make sure we can keep them out. Some religious voices, I don't want to win people to Christ and earn anything from it. Well, I do. And so I'll say, I'll have what you're not going to use. Because right there's a promise from God that says the harvesters are paid good wages. Have you ever thought about that? Why does God have to put you on his heavenly payroll, hello somebody, if you become a sold out soul winner? I'll tell you why. Because it's so flipping difficult for God to get his believers on the payroll. doing the work that he really called them to do. He said, the harvest is great, the workers are few. Pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest that he will raise up more workers for his fields. So you know what God says? I'm not going to be anyone's debtor. If this person sitting on the front row is going to be sold out to winning people to Christ, while the 98% of the rest of the body of Christ, hypothetically speaking, are going to do nothing, I'm going to make sure that she gets on the heavenly payroll. Supernatural provision will be hers. Hello, somebody. Just recently, I've never met a sold-out soul winner that hasn't got their needs met. I've never met a sold-out soul winner that's not experiencing supernatural supply from God. Just recently, it was going to cost me $7,000 to get this work done in Perth, and it wasn't a facelift. You can tell that, right? I need it. But anyway, I had some dental work that had to be done. It was going to cost $7,000. Oh, I can't do that. I looked at all these other options and ended up getting the very best of the best dental work done. The first part, which was going to cost me $5,500, I got it done for $120. By a famous dental surgeon who once finished, before he started, he was training the dentist who was doing my work. And before they started, they both bowed their heads and prayed and laid hands on me before they started. I went, oh my God, how does this happen? I was stunned at the provision of God. In fact, on the way here, I've gone through Sydney to get the work completed and head back home. But you know what I understand? I committed myself a long time ago. I said, God, I don't want to be the leader of a bless me club. I don't want to pastor this little holy huddle in the back streets of Rockingham. If I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life, you've got to turn me into a harvesting machine. And so I know I made that commitment. Can I encourage you today? If you'll make this shift in your walk with God, you'll get on a heavenly payroll. Let me tell you, you'll come into some of the greatest experiences of God's supernatural supply like never before. As we get in, I've only got 3 points to my message today. That's deep, right? I'm a deep person. But before we jump in, can I just give you the spirit of it? You need to know today, especially in today's environment, in the political environment that we're in the social media entourage that's going on at the moment with all of those issues. Number one, sinners are not the enemy. They are victims of the enemy. Come on, somebody. Jesus did not come to start religion. He came to put an end to religion. You got to know this. The cross is not a revelation of your sin. It's a revelation of your value. When he hung on that cross, he saw the very value of your life and the life of that person that you think is so far away from God because they're sinning today, but they are so close to the kingdom. They are ripe for the harvest. When it comes to salvation, you got to know that God's standards are quite low. You'll be very surprised by who you meet in eternity. When I get to heaven, I'm going to spend the first 10,000 years jumping up and down, excited about the fact that I made it. And I know some people would say, oh, that's not very spiritual. You should believe better than that. And I'm believing and then I trust with all of my heart. But you know what? When I get there, I'm just going to be, yeah, come on, baby. I am here. But then I'm going to take a walk around and I know I will be stunned by who I meet there. I'll also probably be stunned by who I don't meet there. More on that later. But here's a couple of thoughts about come and see. Are you ready? The first thing you need to understand about the kingdom of God, heaven, is it's by invitation only. Nobody gets in by their own decision. No one wakes up one morning and says, oh, I'm going to get saved. I'm just going to go enter the kingdom of God. We all came in via an invitation. It says it here in the scriptures in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 9. Now go out into the streets, corners, and invite everyone you see. So the servants brought in everyone they could find, good and bad alike. The banquet hall was filled with guests. Someone invited me into the kingdom, good and bad. How many people are thankful that good and bad are invited into the kingdom? Can I see all the bad hands? Where's all the bad hands? Yeah, I'm so glad that the good and bad get to come in. God is surprisingly compassionate towards sinners. We need to invite them to come. We just need to learn to do the ring and bring thing. I love looking around in services like this where there's lots of empty seats, because for that, that means the harvest is ripe. We have room to bring in the harvest. And you know what? You know how you fill those seats that are beside you? Very simple, by filling the car seats in your car. I say to my church all the time, there's only two of you in that car and it can bring in five. Why don't you trust God for the rest of the year that simply all you do for the rest of the year is fill up your car on the way to church? Ring people and bring them into the house of God. Because friends bring friends to church. They find Christ. That's how it works. Yes. Yeah. Great. Do what you do and add to. Yeah. Like, I'm at the gym pretty much every day. But I'm at the gym every second week on a Monday night with my son-in-law. And we are there for deadlifts and devotions. Scriptures and squats. And people on the outside, they kind of look like, oh, look, pastor's going there, trying to do curls to get the girls, trying to do his thighs to get the guys. And that's what they think on the outside. Like, look, guys want to impress guys. I'm not talking about that other, all right. And people looking from the outside in think, oh, what are they up to? But what they don't understand is the reason why we meet is not the reason why we meet. We get together. There's such a mixed bag. There's Kane, who is number one in Australia with his team for CrossFit, went to the US Games just recently, and they finished 31 in the world. Then there's this guy, John, over here. John's taken my photo many times. He operates one of those multi-novas. Do you know what they are? You don't have them here? You know, on the side of the road, the policeman set them up if you're going over the speed limit? Yeah, he's that guy. He's taken my photo a fair few times. That's John. Then there's Trevlin. He's just a young, he's actually an intern in our church. He's just a young Indian guy that's come in. And we're there and we're working out for an hour. And then once we finish working out for an hour, about 5 minutes before we finish, someone starts up the barbie. And then the last hour, we sit on the mats and someone shares the word of God simply for men from the scriptures. And it's crazy how men begin to open up and pour out their hearts. Like, we men, ladies, I'm sorry, we're just not going to do it in front of you. Well, some of us. Those other guys that do, that's okay for you. But we realise you come from Sydney. No. jokes. I apologise. I meant Hobart. Hello. And we open up because we've discovered if we do what we do and add two, I'll reach one for Jesus. And if we're going to be sold out to the thing, it's a lifestyle thing and it's so much fun. The girls get together and do their stuff. They just talk stuff to death, you know, and that's good. I'm for that. But you've got to understand that God wants to use you just through this simple understanding of being able to say, come and see. You know, with all this stuff going on right now in the marketplace and all the focuses politically, you can just make this simple statement. Hey, I know you think churches like us are weird and bad and against, but you should just come and see how our church is handling this situation, how our church is guilt-free, shame-free, judgment-free. Why don't you come along and just check it out? Just come and see. Turn to your neighbor and say, come and see. I've got to get moving because I take them. The first one is the kingdom of God is by invitation only. The second thing is that you need to let Jesus transform your career into your calling. And I know some of you have heard me talk about this before, but you've got to understand that you've got to be fired up and passionate about going to work tomorrow morning, Monday. If you're in a job right now that you don't enjoy, listen, especially if you're a barista, if you don't enjoy that job, please find another job. We do not need more bad baristas. Hello. Like you've got to love. I was there early Sydney morning. It was 4:30 for me, Perth time, but it was whatever it was, Sydney time. And I'm there getting my coffee, and I've got this passionate barista. It's my first time there, but I know he's passionate. Number one, he's not taking the coffee order. He is focusing on his craft. And the pour. Oh my goodness, the pour was so good. I could see it coming out of the hole. I'm going to get a coffee here. Listen, whatever you're doing in the marketplace, in business, in career, whatever industry it is, you must be pumped up and passionate about it. And like on Thursday afternoon when it's all hitting the fan, you've got to be pumped. You've got to eat stress for breakfast. It's what you do. Because when you do that, you'll stand out from the crowd. You should be the best at what you do, because time and time again, people are going to come and say, what's different about you? And in that moment, you're not going to quote King James to them. You're not going to prophesy. You're probably not even going to say, look, it's the love of Jesus in my heart. If you did that to me back then, I would slap you. What you're going to do is build relationship with them. You can say, oh, my life's been changed. I found God. Yeah, sure. No problems at all. But don't be weird about it. Please, you're making my job hard. Don't be weird about it. Just be a normal, attractive, loving person. But love what you do. Be the best at what you do. Be pumped about work. Be fired up about it. The best person to reach an accountant is another accountant. If you're in finance, you live, you know what? You have the best understanding for reaching people who are in that industry. And then finally, the third thing, just because I don't want to overcook this and I want to get to the crunch, you need to learn how to tell your story for His glory. And please listen to me. I'm not sure whether you like me, love me or not right now, but this is what's important. As a believer, you've got to learn how to tell your story for His glory. Because this is what happens. It's okay to stand on your chairs, Pastor. Because I just, is that, you sure? He said, it's okay, so don't hit me, all right? Like, seriously, when some people tell their story or testimony as Christians, I can tell in a few moments, this is therapy time for them. It's really just therapy time. But what you got to learn to do is tell your story for His glory. And the way that you do that is keep it to 3 minutes or less. Would you like to hear mine? This is not therapy time for me. But prior to Christ, I was a sin-addicted, chauvinistic male, and there are the good points. On my day of change, I recognized that I was off to a Christless eternity, and I deserved it. Since surrendering my life to Christ, I've been constantly pursued by the grace of God. Some people think that God is the God of second chances. If you believe that, you've been lied to. He's not the God of second chances. You see, if He's the God of second chances, you and I are in trouble. Because I did use up my second chance. Anyone else in my boat? He's the God whose mercies are new every morning. Like the relentless, He says, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. As long as you are committed to repent and change and do the journey, He'll keep coming back to you with grace and mercy. There's my story. Now let's talk about you. You need to learn how to tell your story for His glory. It's not a moment of therapy for you. It's so that you can keep pointing people to Jesus. Here's three quick tips on how to do that. There's a before Christ, day of change, and after Christ components. Before Christ, sin addicted, chauvinistic male. I'm proud of it. Day of change, I knew I was headed for a Christless eternity. After Christ, relentless pursuit of the love of God on my life. Grace has followed me wherever I go. Before Christ, day of change, after Christ. Longest for each section, 1 minute. Most of you will get it to the place where now I can share it in 30 seconds and jump straight into what's really powerful. That's Jesus. If He be lifted up, hello, we'll draw all men unto Him. Listen, you've got to learn how to tell that story, because people will argue with your theology. People will argue with your moral stand, with your vote. But they cannot argue with your story for His glory. They cannot argue with your changed life. This woman at the well, her life had been changed. Come see a man who told me everything I ever knew. Come see a man who didn't look at me or judge me based upon my clothing or my history. He knows about my 5 marriages. He knows I'm in a de facto relationship now. He knows I've been a little bit promiscuous. The reason why she knew everyone in the town is obvious, people. But He didn't treat me like that person. He didn't treat me like that person. Come see a man. And the scripture says that the entire town believed because of her. Are you serious? The entire city believed. Because of her. You don't need to know how to preach the gospel, lead someone in the prayer of salvation, although I encourage you to do that. But all you need to know how to do is be attractive enough to bring someone to church. Ring and bring. Do the invite thing. Friends bring friends to church. They find Christ. That's how it works. Do what you do. And add to, when you go into the movies this week, don't do it just as a couple. Bring that friend with you and get them to come along. Bring another couple with you. And when they're going home and walking up to the front door, they're going to be saying this: gee, that was so good. I hope they invite me out again. They're not going to say, oh, that wasn't so bad. They're not such weird Christians after all. You can do it. Do what you do and add to. Come see a man. Somebody said this: Christianity started out in Palestine as a passion. It moved to Greece and became a philosophy. It went to Rome and became an institution. It went to Europe and became a culture. Then it went to America and became an enterprise. And I think what we've experienced in Australia in some ways is the church as an enterprise instead of a passion. And today I want to help you get your passion back. Are you ready to get your passion back? Come on, somebody. Are you ready to get your passion back?
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.